today is a WRAL weather alert day. We have a level 3 risk for severe storms across our area. I'll walk you through the timeline for this, and we'll talk about our heat advisory.
A Raleigh mother faces charges after exposing her baby to illegal drugs.
And if you can't give a yes or no because on whether or not Trump lost, then how
well,
can...
Of course he lost.
And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis rejects former President Trump's claim that he won the 2020 election.
Today is a WRAL weather alert day. Damaging winds are likely this evening with a level 3 risk for severe storms for most of our viewing area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This is a live look from our camera at RDU International Airport. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the worst will be moving through your area.
This is going to be a late afternoon, evening type event for us. And the Storm Prediction Center upgraded this from a level 2 and 3 to a level 3 for our entire viewing area right around 9 o'clock this morning or so. We take a look at the big picture and you can see here's our cold front, which is unusual for this time of year. This is more of a spring-like pattern for us. But well out ahead of this, we have severe thunderstorm and tornado watches in the red and orange. And then we already have a number of severe thunderstorm warnings in the little yellow boxes. So this system is producing some severe weather back to the west. Here's what may happen. We have a lot of cloud cover that's sitting over our area right now. That tends to stabilize the atmosphere a little bit. So we're going to be watching for how that could impact the system as it moves into our area. Let's roll through, and you can see all the way up until around 2 or 3 o'clock, we have some cloud cover. Now, we will likely have a window of some sunshine, and that may help to really destabilize the atmosphere before this gets here. How about the timing? It's approaching our viewing area at 5 o'clock. It is in our western counties at 6 p.m., and then it's moving through pretty quickly at 7 o'clock across the Triangle area and toward the I-95 corridor. What we're watching for is the leading edge of the system. That's where the strongest winds will be, mostly straight-line winds, but those can easily do as much damage as a tornado, and there could be some isolated tornadoes with this. The leading edge is moving out of the viewing area in the 8 o'clock hour, but the futurecast still shows some lingering rain behind it. We could be looking at as much as an average of half an inch. So our window is really going to be between 6 and 9 to see the severe weather as it moves from west to east across our area. Here's what may be tricky. We take a look at downtown Raleigh. It is cloudy right now. We take a look at our high-resolution satellite, and from the Triangle area westward, we've had a bank of clouds for much of the morning. Now, in our eastern counties, we're seeing warmer temperatures. That's going to destabilize the atmosphere. Notice there in Clinton, it's feeling like 95. It feels like 93 in Fayetteville. It feels like 81 in Durham and Raleigh and 77 in Roxborough, but 95 in South Hill and 97 in Rocky Mount. So we're seeing some big differences across our area. Because we may have this temperature boundary, it could be that these storms get a lot stronger as they move into this area where there's the difference in temperature. So something that we'll be watching here in the Weather Center very closely. We still have the heat advisory that's in effect now until 7 p.m. We're really seeing some of those hotter temperatures from Fayetteville to Goldsboro up through Rocky Mount and Wilson. So it's something that we'll continue to watch as we start to see those clouds erode. If it becomes more uniform, then we'll have a better chance of the really strong storms across the entire viewing area. I'll talk about this in a little more detail in just a bit.
At this noon hour, we're following some breaking news. We just confirmed with the State Highway Patrol that 4 people died in a crash in Wayne County Sunday night. With the help of Google Maps, we're going to give you an idea of where it happened along U.S. 13. Now, according to the preliminary investigation, the Highway Patrol says the driver of a Toyota Camry was traveling southwest on U.S. 13 when it crossed the center line and hit a Cadillac head-on on U.S. 13. The driver of the Toyota was pronounced dead at the scene, as well as a 4-year-old child. A 1-year-old in that same vehicle was also transported to UNC Wayne Hospital in Goldsboro, but that child was pronounced dead at the hospital. The driver of the Cadillac was airlifted from that scene, but was pronounced dead later on that day. We don't know the names of the children who died, but we do have the names of the 2 people who were driving. The driver of the Toyota Camry, Regina Aquin Cargick, of 32 years old, of Windsor, North Carolina, and Mary Perry, 60 years old, of Goldsboro. She was driving the Cadillac. Both driving. Has died. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track here in the WRAL Live Center.
Ken, thanks for the update. So sad. This afternoon, a woman accused of exposing her 14-month-old baby to a pair of deadly drugs will make her first court appearance. The child's life was saved thanks to Narcan. WRAL's Eric Miller has been looking into this case and joins us now at the Raleigh apartment complex where that woman lives. Eric.
All right, Jeff, those new warrants that we just obtained this morning say 33-year-old Tanika Williams was grossly negligent and had reckless disregard for human life in this incident that almost cost her child its life. You take a look at these photos. These are those warrants right here. These documents saying that Williams' 14-month-old baby ate a powdery substance yesterday. That baby then went into cardiac arrest. The child's life was apparently saved with quick use of Narcan and a trip to the hospital. A toxicology report there revealed that the baby had both cocaine and fentanyl in its system. Now, Williams is going to be making her first appearance in court here in Wake County later today. That's coming up right around 1:30 this afternoon. We'll be looking out for any news, any developments there, as this obviously remains a developing situation. She's facing charges, including neglect and child abuse with serious bodily injury. Jeff?
So disturbing there. Eric Miller live in Raleigh for us this noon. Eric, thanks.
A man accused of assaulting an elderly couple in Raleigh is now in custody. Christopher McCullough appeared in court this morning. Officers say he attacked the couple around 3 Sunday afternoon on Ingate Way in Northwest Raleigh. Both victims were taken to the hospital. McCullough is charged with 2 counts of felony assault, causing serious bodily injury and larceny of a motor vehicle. We now know the names of 2 people who were found dead in Cumberland County. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says Brian and Jennifer Van were shot to death. It happened Saturday night at a home in the town of Wade on Sambo Jackson Road. The deaths are under investigation.
An Apex family of 4 was injured when the stairs at a Myrtle Beach condo collapsed. Myrtle Beach police say Emily and Christopher Schill and their 2 kids were on the steps when they collapsed Friday night. This happened in the evening at the Sea Cabin Condos on North Ocean Boulevard. The 2-year-old and 4-year-old were okay. Their mother had shoulder and arm pain. Police say a city building inspector will pick up the investigation from here.
We're working to learn the identity of the person who was killed walking along I-40 near Wade Avenue. The accident shut down traffic in the westbound lanes for over 4 hours this morning. This was the view from Sky 5. Look at that backup. We can see that this now involves a death based on what our crew saw at the investigation site. All the traffic was diverted onto eastbound Wade. Raleigh police say the crash happened around 5:15 this morning. We will keep you updated on the details of the investigation. Some commuters may have also encountered unusual delays on I-40 this morning. The shoulder was closed in the westbound lanes of I-40 near Gorman Street after a car fire. No word on the cause of that or whether anyone was injured.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is fighting to convince voters and donors that he has a shot at beating former President Donald Trump for the Republican nomination for president. He sat down with NBC's Dasha Burns for an exclusive interview. She pressed him on various topics, including whether he would try to impose a nationwide ban on abortion if elected president.
So we will be a pro-life president and we will support pro-life policies. I would not allow what a lot of the left wants to do, which is to override pro-life protections throughout the country, all the way up really until the moment of birth in some instances, which I think is infanticide.
I got to push back on you on that, because that's a misrepresentation of what's happening. I mean, that 1.3% of abortions happen at 21 weeks or higher. There's no evidence of Democrats pushing for
their view is that all the way up into that, yet there should not be any legal protections.
There is no indication of Democrats pushing for that.
That was just one of the contentious moments during that interview. We will share more of the conversation, the NBC exclusive talk, in our next half hour.
Former President Trump could also face an indictment this week in the investigation into whether he and his allies tried to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia. The district attorney there, Fani Willis, previously announced a decision would be made before September 1st. If indicted there, this would be a state indictment, and it would mark the Republican presidential candidate's 4th time of being criminally charged. Trump's lawyers are looking to the courts to disqualify the DA and is asking to bar evidence she collected through a special grand jury. Veterans who have yet to sign up for expanded benefits are encouraged to do so by this Wednesday. Last year, President Biden signed off on expanded coverage for veterans exposed to toxic substances. This morning, Congresswoman Deborah Ross hosted a panel discussion over at the Durham VA Medical Clinic. She and other leaders used the event to highlight new benefits and to encourage veterans to apply for backdated benefits while they still can.
It made me ill. I mean, I had diabetes, I got 5 different cancers in my system, you know, so I'm doing well now.
The people who need to be educated, tell me how you...
Once again, the deadline to sign up for expanded benefits for veterans is Wednesday.
2 conservative groups are suing to block President Biden's student loan debt forgiveness plan. The lawsuit filed in Michigan would block the administration's plans to cancel nearly $40 billion in student loans for more than 800,000 borrowers. The groups say the administration doesn't have authority to avoid the debt. The Biden administration's new plans follow the Supreme Court's decision to strike down a broader $400 billion cancellation plan. Take a look at how stocks are moving this noon. Dow Jones Industrial Average is certainly on the move as trading begins the week, up 355 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P 500 are up marginally. NASDAQ 25 points. S&P 500 is up 26 points.
And Jeff, speaking of moving, some major news when it comes to Major League Soccer here in our state. I want to take you to these live pictures right now. This is a news conference happening right now, which NCFC majority owner Steve Malik and other NCFC soccer executives, they are announcing that the team is moving up a division and rejoining the USL Championship Soccer League next season. This is actually a return to the USL for NCFC after a 3-year absence. The team is currently playing in Division 3 USL League 1. This will increase the teams featured in the USL Championship League to 26 teams, which will also include the expansion Rhode Island FC team. Again, this is a news conference happening right now. You can see our mic flag right there. Our sports reporter is there. Look for new reporting about this expansion starting at 4 right here on WRAL and, of course, on WRAL.com.
Exciting news for the North Carolina Football Club. Megan Rapinoe was emotional watching her team's early exit from the Women's World Cup Sunday. The soccer star came on as a late substitute against Sweden, but missed her penalty in the shootout.
This is like a sick joke. For me personally, I'm just like, this is dark comedy. I missed a penalty.
This was Rapinoe's final Women's World Cup game. The U.S. lost 5-4 in the penalty shootout. It was an underwhelming World Cup run. The team managed just 4 goals in 4 matches during the tournament. In its previous 8 World Cup runs, the U.S. averaged over 17 goals per tournament. WRL's month-long Clear the Shelters campaign is underway. You can scan the QR code right there on your screen for details. We are making it easy for people to donate online to shelters and rescues and possibly find the next furry member of your family. Even if you can't adopt, you can help homeless pets. Find our shelter wish list, including items they need, and volunteer opportunities at WRL.com/shelters.
And next at noon, a child prodigy, how a 14-year-old girl is spending her summer researching ovarian cancer.
Also, pushing for a hybrid work schedule, how Google is trying to lure its employees back to the office.
Plus, talking to your little ones about stranger danger, how experts say that conversation should go.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A boater who disappeared after falling off a canoe at Falls Lake Sunday night has been found. We don't know his name at this time, but officials say he was 35 years old. His body was recovered around 10:15 last night. Crews got a call about a possible drowning around 5:20 Sunday evening. It came after a canoe flipped with 3 people on board. 2 had non-life-threatening injuries, and 1 was missing. A spokesperson with the Northern Wake Fire Department said the boaters did not appear to be wearing life jackets.
This thing can occur, and it does, unfortunately, too often because a lot of people just are unprepared.
Several departments, including the Wake County Sheriff's Office and EMS, helped search for the missing man.
In the past 45 minutes, we learned the name of the boater who disappeared while swimming at Jordan Lake Sunday. Chatham County Sheriff's Office says 73-year-old Donald Semler of Texas died. He was in the area visiting family. Several state and local agencies helped search the water for him. Wake County Public Libraries is expanding a program designed to help those experiencing memory loss with their loved ones and caretakers. Librarians rolled out the free Memory Care Kit program in May of 2022. Since then, nearly 350 kits have been checked out of local libraries. People can use their library card to check out the kits for 6 weeks at a time at no cost. Visit the Wake County Library website to reserve your kit online.
A child prodigy is spending her summer researching ovarian cancer at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. It's part of a special internship program designed to increase diversity in the biomedicine field. Jennifer Franciotti introduces us to the 14-year-old who is blazing a trail for others.
Well, at first, I thought I was going to be an engineer because I was in love with NASA and like stars and rovers. But I took my first engineering class, and it really didn't go as planned. So I switched over to a biological sciences.
It's not unusual for college students to change their career paths, but when it comes to Elena Annalee, she is anything but typical.
I'm 14 years old.
14 and already a rising college senior. She graduated high school at 12, and she is the youngest ever research intern in a program funded by the American Cancer Society. At the University of Maryland School of Medicine and the Greenebaum Comprehensive Cancer Center, 8 students from colleges in Maryland and across the country were selected for the 11-week program that's designed to encourage diversity in the field of biomedicine.
And so when you see people who look like you in the lab and you feel that you can participate, you feel that you have a place and you can contribute.
Elena's work this summer is focused on ovarian cancer. A student at Arizona State, she's considering coming here for her PhD in viral immunology.
To study viruses, travel around the world, learn more, and hopefully do some vaccine development, maybe. She's only been in the lab for a couple of months, and she's already helping to train incoming students who have completed their undergraduate degree.
And this diversity and research program is right up Elena's alley. She has started her own foundation called Brown STEM Girl.
So we have for the girls who just want to come together and see other girls of color just like them who are also wanting to go into the STEM field, and then also being able to, you know, take them around the world and plan trips so they can go places. I just want to, you know, inspire girls to keep going and follow their dreams.
Such an inspiration. Elena has been featured in Forbes magazine for her Brown STEM Girl Foundation. Graduated high school at age 12, and now 2 years later, she's a rising senior in college. Her future is so bright.
So determined. We should check back. I was going to say 10 years, but 5 years. We shouldn't wait that long. She's going to do great things.
She's going to discover a cure for cancer. That's what she's going to do.
We're going to check in with Elizabeth Gardner right now because things are changing weather-wise on this WRL Weather Alert Day.
Right now, we're taking a look at our severe weather threat, which is a level 3 for the entire viewing area. But we have some things happening right now that will be interesting to watch as we get through the afternoon. I mentioned that at the beginning of the newscast. We do have a tornado watch there well to our west. This is on the other side of the mountains. That expires at 7 o'clock. But you can see those yellow boxes popping up. Those are severe thunderstorm warnings, and there's a severe thunderstorm watch that's down to the south. So this is getting cranked up back off to the west. The big question is, what's going to be happening across our area when the cold front arrives? Let's take a look at what's going on right now. We have some cloud cover from the Triangle area westward. That keeps our atmosphere cooler and more stable. There's not as much energy for really powerful storms to develop. But if we get a big break in the clouds, you know, even as early as 3 o'clock, we'll still have a few hours for the atmosphere to destabilize and have the ability to produce some strong thunderstorms. So it'll all depend on what happens over the next couple of hours. Right now, we're looking at 5 o'clock as those storms are approaching. This version of Futurecast still shows the strong line of thunderstorms coming through at 6 o'clock from Roxborough to Durham down towards Southern Pines. It moves across the Triangle area in the 7 o'clock hour down across Johnston County and toward Fayetteville and Clinton as we get into the 8 o'clock hour, lingering some rain behind it. Heavy rain will come with this, but we're not likely to see flooding. We are likely to have the potential for some strong straight line winds that could do some damage, like knocking down trees and causing some isolated power outages. This is a look west across Wake County. You can see the cloud cover here. You can also see those clouds breaking up. Right now it is 79 officially at the airport, but the airport's on the west side of Wake County. Lots of moisture in the atmosphere, plenty of that with a dew point of 73. And you can see from Raleigh westward, lots of cloud cover here. It is eroding on the edges, and so it does look like it's dissipating, and we should end up seeing some of that sunshine destabilizing the atmosphere. But we have a long way to go. 79 our temperature in the Triangle and up toward Roxborough. Our heat index only 81. It's 93 in Fayetteville, 95 in Clinton, and 97 in Rocky Mount, 95 in South Hill. So all of our eastern counties are well on the way to seeing that heat index at 105 to 107. So Fayetteville, down in San Sampson County, Goldsboro, Wilson County, really all along and east of I-95. I feel pretty confident that we'll hit 105 to 107. The bigger question is going to be from Raleigh westward. So I dropped the high temperature for Raleigh to 93 and Durham to 92. We still have a long way to go to get there, you know, over 10 degrees. But if we start to see more sunshine, that's reachable. Our dew point's high at 73. So as I mentioned, lots of moisture in the atmosphere. If we see a high of 93, the heat index in the triangle could be 101. But again, just down the road, it could easily be at 105 to 107. This whole front, when it moves through, is going to take along a lot of moisture with it. So it won't be as humid the next several days. And our high temperatures are likely to be in the low 90s. So that's going to be the big change that we'll end up seeing. We have a chance of some scattered thunderstorms on Thursday. And we'll talk more about how things are progressing with the system coming up again in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. Our team of meteorologists will be watching the track of this weather system all day long. We'll let you know about any changes with live updates at 125 and 155.
And join us for the news at 4. Our team of meteorologists and reporters will keep you weather aware so you know what to expect and when. Also ahead at noon, Google is offering employees another perk as the company tries to integrate hybrid work days. Plus,
you don't want to create anxiety and fear of your child, but you want to balance that with their safety and their security.
A pediatrician has guidance for parents on how to talk to their kids about stranger danger.
And breaking here in the WRL Live Center, just before we came on the air for our new newscast, we just got word that a Minneapolis judge just sentenced former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao to nearly 5 years on state charges for his role in the death of George Floyd. We got a video of Tu Tao. He's the one right there in the middle. Tao is already serving 3.5 years sentence for his February 2022 conviction on federal charges of violating Floyd's civil rights during that arrest. This charge, he's convicted of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. He will serve his state sentence concurrently with the federal sentence. Floyd would later die at the hands of ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is already serving time for his crime.
Ken, thanks. Google might be trying to lure workers back to the office with a new incentive. The tech giant is offering employees a stay at its on-campus hotel for a discount price of $99 a night. Google is requiring its employees to work in the office 3 days a week as it tries to push for a hybrid work schedule. The new hotel can accommodate about 4,000 people.
The iPhone 15 line could be unveiled next month, and its potential new features might surprise you. According to insiders, the new models could be mostly screen with an extremely thin border. And people can expect camera improvements as well, of course. Better technology for batteries and a switch to a USB-C system. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg says a web version of Threads and a search function should be coming in the next few weeks. The desktop version has been among the biggest requests by users. Threads has also rolled out the ability to see your liked posts through an update. Over the weekend, they did that. Users can find their liked posts in their settings. They can also now sort through their following lists by latest first or earlier first.
It is a WRL weather alert day. Today's risk for severe storms is unusually high for this time of year. You're looking at a live view of Roxborough. It is dry now, but those storms will arrive likely in the evening hours. You can also use this time to download the WRL weather app for warnings before severe weather hits. Elizabeth will return at the top of our next half hour.
Well, scientists say some of the world's tourist attractions are disappearing as a result of rising global temperatures and sea levels. What this could mean for the communities that rely on tourism dollars. And hear your winning lottery numbers and see Education Lottery on your screen right now.
Today is a WRL weather alert day. Damaging winds are likely this evening. Most of our viewing area is under a level 3 out of 5 risk for severe weather.
We have a live look for you right now from the WRL Tall Tower camera in southeastern Wake County. You can see some clouds there in the distance. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at when the worst of this will be moving through our area.
This is going to be an evening event for us. We're likely to see the thunderstorms moving close to our viewing area as early as 5 p.m. and then moving on out by the time time we get to 8 or 9 o'clock. Of course, damaging wind would be our biggest threat with this. An isolated tornado is not out of the question, but straight line winds can do as much damage as a tornado. So it's a situation you want to take very seriously. Make sure you've downloaded your WRAL weather app, set the alerts to on, and then when the alerts go off, turn on the TV. Kat and Mike will be here walking you through these storms as they come through. Here's what's happening right now. We have our cold front back to the west starting to push through parts of Tennessee and Kentucky, and out ahead of it, we are already seeing severe storms. A number of severe thunderstorm warnings have popped up just in the last few hours, and this storm system will move across the mountains. And as it moves east, it's going to move into an area where we've seen some clouds for the last several hours, and that could have an impact on how this storm behaves. Most likely, we'll see severe storms developing before this arrives in our viewing area, but some of the cloud cover is stabilizing the atmosphere a little bit. Right now, it looks like from Raleigh eastward, we would have a greater chance of severe storms, but some of that's going to depend on what happens over the next few hours. We're starting to see the clouds erode a little bit, and if we see lots of bright sunshine in our western counties, we're still going to end up with these strong thunderstorms. So here's the potential timeline. Roxborough, Durham, down to Southern Pines at 6 o'clock, and of course, it's the leading edge of these storms that we're most concerned about. That's where the strongest winds will be and the greatest chance to see damage. At 7 o'clock, that's just west of Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, down toward Fayetteville, and then moving out of the viewing area in the 8 o'clock hour with some lingering rain behind it. That's not our only issue for today. We also have a heat advisory. First of all, let me show you again that timeline. Between 6 and 8 or 9 is going to be the greatest chance of those severe storms. And Raleigh, now we're starting to see a little bit more sunshine, so we're starting to see those clouds erode pretty quickly, and that will make a big difference. There's still a lot of cloud cover between Greensboro, Sanford, and western Wake County, but as long as that dissipates, we're still going to be on track to seeing some of those stronger thunderstorms. Right now, it is 86 in Fayetteville, 85 in Clinton, but it feels like 95 in Clinton. It feels like 97 right now in Rocky Mount and 95 in South Hill. It's a little cooler in the Triangle, but that is likely to change over the next few hours, and we'll take another look at it coming up in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. Former President Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made that statement during an exclusive interview with NBC's Dasha Burns. She's on the campaign trail with him in Iowa with that story.
If the election is a referendum on Joe Biden's policies and the failures that we've seen, and we are presenting a positive vision for the future, we will win the presidency and we will have a chance to turn the country around. If, on the other hand, the election is not about January 20th, 2025, but January 6th, 2021, or what document was left by the toilet at Mar-a-Lago, if it's a referendum on that, we are going to lose.
But
and that's
Trump
just
in the
reality.
Race, you know, with Trump in the race, that is largely what it's going to be about. And right now,
and
you're
not
fighting against
That's not a pathway for success for the Republican Party. I think a lot of our voters understand that.
Yes or no, did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Whoever puts their hand on the Bible on January 20th every 4 years is the winner.
Okay, but respectfully, you did not clearly answer that question. And if you can't give a yes or no
because
on whether or not Trump lost, then how can
you? Of course he lost.
Trump lost the 2020 election.
Of course. Okay. Joe Biden's the president. But the issue is, I think what people in the media and elsewhere, they want to act like somehow this was just like the perfect election.
Governor DeSantis fighting his own battle to convince voters and donors that he has a shot at beating Mr. Trump, despite lagging poll numbers, a campaign cash crunch, and relentless attacks from his rivals. Recently, his biggest individual donor threatening to pull back his cash unless Governor DeSantis takes less extreme positions and shows he can win over moderates. A chief concern, the six-week abortion ban DeSantis signed in Florida. It's an issue Democrats have worked to use against him and other Republicans on the campaign trail. The governor has implied the issue should be left to individual states.
So would you veto any sort of federal bill that tries to put a nationwide ban in place?
So we will be a pro-life president, and we will support pro-life policies. I would not allow what a lot of the left wants to do, which is to override pro-life protections throughout the country, all the way up really until the moment of birth in some instances, which I think is infanticide.
That was Dasha Burns reporting. Florida has long allowed anyone who wants to vote by mail to do so, whereas Trump is a vocal opponent of that practice. For the 2024 election, the Republican National Committee has been trying to get GOP voters to embrace early voting, including voting by mail, after years of former President Trump putting down the practice.
Part of Lynn Road in Raleigh was closed for a while last night after a crash involving a state highway patrol trooper. It happened at the intersection of Lynn Road and Creedmoor Road. The trooper was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. An SUV was also involved in that crash. It had a shattered windshield. The airbags went off, but nobody was hurt. Part of Lynn Road was closed for about an hour. The cause of this crash is still under investigation.
A vote is set for tonight to name a portion of I-40 after longtime state representative Larry Bell. The interstate would be renamed from mile marker 352 to 357 in Sampson County. Bell represented both Sampson and Wayne counties during his 18-year career.
Well, happening now in the WRA Live Center, just about 15 minutes ago, we told you about NCFC moving up a division to Division II in the National and the Soccer League. But we also heard from the majority owner of NCFC, Steve Malik. He talked about Wake Met Soccer Park and all the development around that soccer park, including the Fenton development. He says the move by NCFC isn't just about sports. It's also about the economics of Cary and the Triangle and surrounding areas as well.
The, you know, development is fabulous. There's 13 bars and restaurants, and it's right beside our stadium. So it's had a huge impact on changing the game day. And just like everyone else who lives in this region is experiencing, we're growing. So I think that, you know, Wake Med is a lot better place than it was if you haven't been out there in the last 18 months.
Big news for NCFC and soccer fans here in the Cary and Triangle area.
Ken, thanks. Something parents of younger children should add to their back-to-school checklist? A talk about stranger danger, how to best start that conversation, and what you'll want to cover.
Plus, some stores go only self-checkout. Does that mean you want to check out? Why grocery chains say the contactless option is here to stay.
Tourist sites are only tourist sites if people actually visit them.
But some communities say the effects of human-caused climate change are threatening popular tourist destinations around the world. Chris DeMayo takes a closer look.
A growing number of scientists say rising global temperatures and sea levels are causing some of the world's bustling tourist attractions to face an uncertain future. It's spelling concerns for the towns and businesses that rely on popular landmarks for their economic survival.
It's the number one tour or destination in our town.
Alaska's Mendenhall Glacier is a prime example. It attracts thousands of visitors every year, with cruise ships docking nearby and tourists chartering buses, helicopters, and boats to catch a glimpse of the glorious ice.
And that's gone? I don't know. That'd be quite the same draw.
But data from the University of Alaska Southeast reveals the glacier is melting rapidly. From 2007 to 2021, warmer temperatures as a result of human-caused climate change have caused the glacier's face to retreat the distance of 8 football fields. And by 2050, experts predict the glacier will have melted so much it may no longer be visible from the visitor center. The issue is causing tour groups to think of other ways that they can earn money in the future.
It's one of the many reasons why we have developed whale watching is such a large part of our business now, as well as city tours.
As Chris DeMayo reporting, the United Nations recommended Venice be added to its list of World Heritage Sites in danger, saying Italian officials aren't doing enough to protect the city and its tourists from the damaging effects of climate change.
Self-checkout lanes were ideal during the pandemic as a way to keep us safe. Now they're everywhere. We'll hear from store owners and shoppers about the future of this technology.
Plus, Beyonce might run the world, but not even she is a match for Mother Nature. How long members of the Beehive were forced to shelter in place due to severe weather.
Self-checkout stations at supermarkets. You either love them or hate them. Let's be honest, most people hate them. Now, one major supermarket chain is experimenting with an all self-checkout system. No human cashiers. Will others follow? George Solis has a closer look.
Place your item in the bagging area.
They are supermarket contraptions.
Help is on the way.
Causing super headaches.
Place your item in the bagging area.
The self-checkout lane.
I hate self-checkout. Those machines do not work.
Last resort. Last resort for me.
But despite the hate, stores are ringing up even more of them.
I always have to call somebody to come over anyway. It makes like such a for difficult time.
Kroger, one of the nation's largest supermarket chains, has just converted one of its stores to self-checkout only. Walmart and Dollar General also experimenting with no-man registers.
If your store went full self-checkout, how big of a problem would that be for you?
Huge.
But are we now at a point where it is here to stay forever?
Oh, yeah. I don't see we're turning back on this.
Stu Leonard Jr. owns 7 stores in the New York area and says he's noticed an obvious trend.
The younger people embrace it and love to use it more than older people. I don't see much gray hair in the self-checkout line.
He says 75% of his customers still prefer human cashiers, so he's keeping them. But there are labor savings with self-checkout.
We have one cashier for one customer at the regular checkout lane. Over here, we try to have 8 of them, I think, and we have 2 people on board right now. The ratio now goes 4-to-1.
There's some growing pains associated with it.
Just like any technology, you know, self-checkout, there are growing pains.
Here's where things can really go off the rails. This can of beans, no problem.
One.
These organic bananas, well, that's a whole nother story.
Help is required for this item. Help is on the way.
Leonard believes the technology will get better and customers will get more used to it. Others, however, aren't as optimistic.
I don't think that there's one shopper in the nation who would like to go to an all self-checkout store. And frankly, as these retailers are putting in more stores that are only self-checkout, I think their sales are going to decline.
By one estimate, 95% of stores now have some form of self-checkout, so it's unlikely any of them will bag the concept soon. George Solis, NBC News, New York.
95% of stores now have some form of self-checkout. It's unlikely any of them will do away with it.
Not even the queen bee was a match for Mother Nature. Concertgoers were forced to shelter in place ahead of showtime last night at FedEx Field due to lightning in the area. The fans outside the gates and in the parking lot were asked to return to their cars. All fans inside the stadium were asked to shelter in place under covered concourse areas. And about 2 hours later, the all-clear was given and the show did go on. Get this, though. The Renaissance Tour paid the D.C. Metro Service $100,000 to remain open so fans could get home safely. That is quite a nice gesture right there.
Well, we certainly want people to be aware of what's to come for the evening commute. We want people to get home safely. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center tracking our severe weather risk, level 3 for most of the viewing area.
And that is unusual at any time of year, but especially this time of year. So the level 3 does cover almost the entire viewing area. It's a great time to download your WRL weather app if you haven't done so, and then go in and turn on alerts, especially for severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings. We'll likely have some of those with a level 3. We typically do. Straight line damaging wind looks more likely than tornadoes with this threat. But of course, those winds can do similar damage to a tornado. And we're watching the system back to the west, and it definitely has a history of producing severe storms. As a matter of fact, right here in southeast Kentucky, that red spot there, that's a brand new tornado warning that just was issued ahead of this front. We have a tornado watch here and a severe thunderstorm watch and a number of severe thunderstorm warnings as this is traveling eastward, heading toward the mountains of North Carolina. So the mountains do have a tornado watch that's in effect until 6 p.m. That covers Asheville and up toward Boone. We don't have that in effect for any other part of North Carolina yet, but I would expect at least the folks, if not here, to our west, will go under a tornado watch as well. We have 130 million folks who are in line to see some storms out of this so far. 3 tornadoes up here to the north and west of where the front is right now. We've had 312 reports of wind damage and just 31 reports of hail. So straight line winds are definitely going to be our biggest issue out of this system. You can see it developing back to the west by 5 o'clock. It's sitting just to our west. By 6 o'clock, it's moving close to Durham through Siler City, parts of Chatham County and up toward Roxboro. By 7 o'clock, moving through the triangle and toward the I-95 corridor. And by 8 o'clock, it's starting to shift eastward. So it will be moving fast. The rain will be heavy with this initially, but it will be moving quickly. So we'll probably only see an average of about 1/2 inch of rain. And of course, we could see wind damage in the form of trees falling and possibly some power outages. So our western counties, the timeline is going to be between 5 and 6 as we see that initial line coming through. That's where the strongest winds are going to be and the best chance for damage. Right through the middle of the viewing area between 6 and 7, and then our eastern counties between 7 and 8. That's going to be the timeline for the system for tonight. We take a look at our forecast. Of course, a good chance of storms today. Once the front moves through, Tuesday and Wednesday will likely be dry, and then Thursday and Friday, we're back to just a few pop-up to scattered thunderstorms. We take a look outside. The cloud cover could skew things a little bit. It's still cloudy in Apex right now, as well as Chapel Hill, so some of our western counties still seeing some clouds. It's going to keep things a little bit more stable and cooler, and we'll have a lesser chance for storms there. Now, this could break up fairly rapidly, and if it does, it will likely destabilize by the time the front gets here. Lots of sunshine in Goldsboro and Fayetteville. Temperatures are really warming up quickly there. Look at that. Clinton's already at 99 for the heat index, 93 Clinton, 97 Southern Pines, 97 in Rocky Mount. But our heat index, of course, is much lower where we're seeing some cloud cover right now. Heat advisory is still in effect for the entire viewing area, but watch through the afternoon and evening. Make sure you're tuning in, and we'll let you know if some of the counties are removed from that. Once this moves through, we're still looking at hot conditions all the way through next weekend. We'll be right back with your top stories. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Four people died in a crash near Goldsboro, including two children. Troopers say a one-year-old, four-year-old, and two adults were killed in the crash on Highway 13 in Wayne County last night. They say a car crossed the center line and hit another car head-on. Investigators say alcohol and speed were factors.
A man accused of assaulting an elderly couple in Raleigh appeared in court this morning. Christopher McCullough is charged with two counts of felony assault causing serious bodily injury and larceny of a motor vehicle. Officers say he attacked the couple yesterday afternoon on Ingate Way in Northwest Raleigh. Both victims were taken to the hospital.
A woman accused of exposing her 14-month-old baby to cocaine and fentanyl will make her first appearance in court this afternoon. Tanika Williams is charged with neglect and child abuse with serious bodily injury. Warrants show her 14-month-old baby ate a powdery substance. The baby then went into cardiac arrest. Narcan was used to save the child's life.
With kids getting ready to go back to school, now is a good time for parents to have a conversation with their little ones about stranger danger. Pediatricians say start by explaining to your child that there's never a reason an adult would need a child's help finding something. Parents should go over some scenarios where a bad person might ask them for help. It's also helpful to come up with a family password.
I tell my patients to have a secret family password that is only between your family. So if someone comes up to my child and says, hey, your mom's running behind. She was at the hospital. She was in a car accident. She told me to pick you up. My kids are trained to say, hey, what's our family secret password?
If your child gets lost, the doctors say it is okay to tell your children they can ask another parent for help.
Our pet of the day was dumped outside to fend for herself, but Purr Partners is trying to help her find her forever family. Solace is a two-year-old domestic longhair. This beauty is a great companion, lap kitty, settling down to watch TV or napping while you read. She should be an only cat. Solace is a foster-to-adopt kitty, which means you can foster her for a month before adopting. Find more about Solace and other kitties for adoption at purrpartners.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great day.
Stay safe with the latest WREL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM.